with the Father, but he mentioned so much about anxiety because he's so near from us. So near from us.
Unfortunately, many people, when we talk about these subjects, they think that this is something so far. You see, 14 centuries ago, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu thought that he is there, he is out there, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. You know, one of our greatest scholars of this time, he was asked about Al-Mahdi, and he said that if you live long enough, you may see the Mahdi. Which means, if you live long enough, will you see the picture? Are you ready for this fitna? And if we don't see him, our children may see him. This is why it is imperative. It is so important that we pass on to him this knowledge and warn him against the Dajjal. How many times you heard the khutbah, the imams of the masajid, warning the people against the fitna of the Dajjal? How close are we from the Dajjal? Even the Sahaba during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that he is there. After 14 centuries and after all the signs, the minor signs has appeared, we are ready for the major one. Aren't we very, very close? Shouldn't we be ready and prepare for such a great fitna? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fitna of Dajjal. Let us continue the hadith that we are reading. But before that, a person may ask, how could a person who is illiterate read that this is kafir? And simply, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if he is a believer, he would read it. Because the believer believes in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating for him that realization and that recognition of the word kafir that is written on the forehead of the Dajjal. The hadith goes on describing the fitna of the Dajjal. Why he is a big fitna? وَإِنَّ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ أَنَّ مَعَهُ جَنَّةً وَنَارًا فناره جنة وجنته نار فمن ابتلي بناره فليستغيث بالله وليقرأ فواتح الكهف. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, part of his fitna is that he has with him the image of the hellfire and the image of paradise. But in reality, his paradise is hell and his hell is paradise. Now, if you don't have this knowledge, you may be deceived by his hell and his paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, whoever is subjected to his fitna, let him seek refuge in Allah and let him read the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us those means that we have mentioned. Seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be a believer in order to recognize. You see these words and letters that are written on his forehead, and read the fawadih of Surah Al-Kahf. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, وَإِنَّ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ أَنْ يَقُولَ لِلْأَعْرَابِيِّ أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ بَعَثْتُ لَكَ أَبَاكَ وَأُمَّكَ أَتَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَبُّكَ فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ فَيَتَمَثَّلُ لَهُ شَيْطَانَانِ فِي صُورَةِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ فَيَقُولَانِ يَا بَنِيَّ اتَّبِعْهُ فَإِنَّهُ رَبُّكَ. That part of his fitna is that he will come to the A'rab, the person, and he will ask him, what if I resurrect for you your father and mother, would you believe that I am your Lord? And that person would say yes. And two shaitan, two devils, will form themselves in the form of his father and mother and will tell that person, O son, he is your Lord, so follow him. This is a fitna. when a person sees his father and mother telling him, but if he knows the signs of the Dajjal and sees that the matter of Dajjal is so obvious for these believers, because he knows that Allah is the creator of beauty and he is the source of beauty and he is the possessor of all the qualities of perfection, so he cannot be blind in one eye and he cannot have that description. And this, in this there is an evidence that the devils are going to be cooperating with the Dajjal. وَإِنَّ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ أَنْ يُطَلَّقَ عَلَى نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فَيَقْتُلَهَا يَنْشُرُهَا بِالنِّشَارِ حَتَّى تُلْقَى فِي الْقَلْبِ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ انظروا إلى عبدي هذا فإني أبعثه ثم يزعم أن له ربا غيري فيبعثه الله ويقول له الخبير من ربك فيقول ربي الله وأنت عدو الله أنت الدجال والله ما كنت قط أشد بصيرة بك مني اليوم. Part of his fitna is that Allah will allow him to kill and resurrect one person. He will kill him, and as a matter of fact, he will sew him two parts. And he will walk between these two halves of that person. Then he will resurrect him. Before that, he will tell his people, see this servant of mine, I am killing him and I'm going to resurrect him. Yet he is claiming that he has God beside him. And when he will resurrect that person, he will tell him, who is your Lord? The Dajjal will tell that person, who is your Lord? And he will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are the Dajjal about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, and I have more certainty now that you are Dajjal than ever before. And this person, as in other hadith, will be the person who will have the title أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the person who will have the greatest, or the person of the greatest testimony in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he will tell people that this is the Dajjal, in front of the Dajjal, facing the Dajjal. وَإِنَّ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ أن يأمر السماء أن تمطر فتمطر ويأمر الأرض أن تنبت فتنبت. That part of his fitna, that he will command the sky to rain and it rains, and command the earth to grow vegetation and it does. This is a great fitna. وإن من فتنته أن يمر بالحج فيكذبونه فلا يبقي لهم سائنا إلا هلكا. That part of fitna also, that he passes by certain people, per certain tribe, and he calls them to believe in him. But they refuse. As a result, he will destroy all their cattle and everything. Their land becomes very dry. وَإِنَّ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ أَنْ يَمُرَّ بِالْحَجِّ فَيُصَدِّقُونَهُ فَيَأْمُرُ السَّمَاءَ أَنْ تُمْطِرَ فَتُمْطِرَ وَيَأْمُرُ الْأَرْضَ أَنْ تُنْبِتَ فَتُنْبِتَ. Part of his fitna, on the other hand, that he passes by some people, some tribe, and he will call them to believe in him, and they believe in him. As a result, he will command the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him this supernatural power as a fitna for people. To see, do the people really know Allah or not? They pray for him, they fast for him, they do different acts of worship with him. Do they know him? And this is why it's very important. And this is the most important obligation. And this is the most noble part of the hidayah, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every rak'ah to grant us that hidayah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know him as he described himself in his book, and as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him in his sunnah. To know him by his names and attributes. To know what is الله الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور. To know these names, to understand the meaning of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the most important thing. So they believe in him, he command the sky to rain and it rains, and command the earth to grow vegetation and it does, and their cattle, their animals become very, very fat, the udders of the cows become so filled with milk, and they become in a very luxurious status because they believe in the Dajjal and the fitna. And the fitna even is greater than this. Why? Because you have to understand the circumstances and the condition of the people during the time when Dajjal comes and offer his Jannah and offer all these things that we are talking about. He comes with mountain of bread and abundance of water, but in what time and under what circumstances? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us at the end of the hadith, which I'm going to mention right now because this is the proper time for it. وَإِنَّ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ الدَّجَّالِ ثَلَاثَ سَنَوَاتٍ شِدَادٍ. Before the appearance of Dajjal, there are 3 years of famine. يُصِيبُ النَّاسَ فِيهَ جُوعٌ شَدِيدٌ. يأمر الله السماء السنة الأولى أن تحدث ثلث مطرها ويأمر الأرض أن تحدث ثلث نباتها. In the first year of these 3 years, Allah will command the sky to abstain from giving 1/3 of its rain. And He will command the earth to abstain from growing 1/3 of its vegetation. ثم يأمر السماء في السنة الثانية فتحدث ثلثي مطرها ويأمر الأرض فتحدث ثلثي نباتها. In the second year, Allah commands the earth to abstain or to hold 2/3 of its rain, and He commands the earth to hold, withhold 2/3 of its vegetation. And on the third year, Allah will command the sky to hold all its rain, and the earth to hold all the vegetation. So the time is very, very difficult. Time of hunger, time of thirst, time of famine. At that time, the Dajjal come with abundance of water, abundance of food, abundance of sustenance to people. And the fitna, so the people are driven by their belly. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this. People who are not ready to sacrifice, people who do not persevere, people who are used to luxurious life, how could they sacrifice at that time? This is why it is so of a great fitna. And in some narration, in the narration of the hadith that is in Sahih Muslim, فَيَمُرُّ بِالْخَلِيدَةِ فَيَقُولُ لَهَا أَخْرِجِي كُنُوزَكِ فتتبعه كنوزها كعاسيب النحل. That he passed by a ruined land. As the Dajjal passes by a ruined land. A land that is barren. And he commands its treasure to come out. And the treasures of that land will follow him like swarms of bees. This is a fitna. Fitna, especially for the people who are ignorant about Allah and His Messenger, and ignorant about the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the Dajjal, and people who are immersed in the temptations of the life of this world. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَبْقَى شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا وَطِئَهُ وَظَهَرَ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا مَكَّةُ وَالْمَدِينَةُ. That there would be no place on the surface of the earth but Dajjal will cover and be there except two places, Mecca and Al-Madinah. This is another piece of explanation or means of protection, that if you need to be protected, try yourself to go to Mecca or Medina, because this is a place where the Dajjal can never enter. There are angels that are protecting these places, Mecca and Medina, and he will be very sad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, كَالْغَيْتِ اسْتَدْرَتُ الْرِيحِ, that like the wind-driven cloud, he will be so fast, as fast in his travel, and he only stays in on earth for 40 days. But one of these days will stretch for like 1 year, the other is like 1 month, and the other is like 1 week, and the rest of his days are like our days. But in these 40 days, he will spread corruption all over the earth. إلا مكة والمدينة لا يأتيهما من نقب من أنقابهما إلا لقيته الملائكة بالسيوف صلصة حتى ينزل عند الضريب الأحمر عند منقطع السبخة فترجف المدينة لأهلها ثلاثة رجفة فلا يبقى فيها منافق ولا منافقة إلا خرج إليه فتنفي الخبيث منها كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديث ويدعى ذلك اليوم يوم الخلاص قيل فأين العرب يومئذ قال هم يومئذ خليل. The angels will prevent him from entering Mecca and Medina, and he will try from every mountain pass to come to Medina, but he will be prevented from this, and he will camp somewhere close to Medina. At that time Allah will command the Medina to tremble 3 times. Tremble, shake 3 times, and all the munafiqeen will be thrown away and ejected from the Medina. All munafiqeen, hypocrites. This is another hint that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us, that the person who is protected from the Dajjal is a person who does not have nikah. He has subjected himself to the process of self-purification. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove from our heart every atom of nifaq. So the Medina will purify itself by throwing this munafiqin out of it, and this day will be called the day of khalas, the day of salvation. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked at that point, where is the Arab at that time? And he would say, Arab at that time will be few, very few in number. And he says also, وَإِمَامُهُمْ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ فَبَيْنَمَا إِمَامُهُمْ قَدْ تَقَدَّمُ. He mentioned the Al-Mahdi, who would be the Imam of the Muslims at that time. And he mentions who is going to kill the Dajjal. It is Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, Isa son of Mary. And the Dajjal will be followed by who? By the Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that 70,000 of the Jews from Asmahan are going to follow the Dajjal. But at the moment the Dajjal sees Isa ibn Maryam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he starts dissolving as the salt dissolves in water, and he runs away. And Isa ibn Maryam follow him till he reached to Bab Luddin al-Shirqi, that is in Palestine, and he kills him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defeats him and the Jews. فَلَا يَبْقَى شَيْءٌ مِمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَتَوَاقَى بِهِ يَهُودِيٌّ إِلَّا أَنْتَقَى اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْءٍ لَا حَجَرٌ ولا شجر ولا حائط ولا دابة إلا الغرقدة فإنها من شجرهم لا تنطق إلا قال يا عبد الله المسلم هذا يهودي فتعال اقتله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defeat him and the Jews, and everything at that time, be it a stone or a tree or a wall or a beast, that the Jews hide behind them, talk and speak. The stone will speak, and you see that this time is different. There are, it is a time of supernatural phenomena. At that time, and this is why it is very special time, a time of fitan. And they feed saints, all Muslim, all servants of Allah, behind me there is a Jew who will come and kill them. So, and this shows that the hajar and the shajar, the stone and the tree, when they say, Ya Abdullah, all servants of Allah. All servants of Allah. And this shows you the way for us to be honorable in this life, to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's very important to mention something, because we mentioned that the people before the Dajjal, and especially at the third year, they don't have any vegetation, any drink, anything to eat or anything to drink. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling them. And the people asked him, فَمَا يُعِيشُ النَّاسَ فِي ذَاتَ الزَّمَانِ قَالَ التَّهْمِيرُ وَالتَّكْمِيرُ وَالتَّحْمِيرُ وَيَجْزِئُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَجْزَأَةَ الطَّعَامِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see, people ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can people survive? They don't have anything to eat, they don't have anything to drink. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِتَهْلِيل, saying لا إله إلا الله, تَهْلِيل, اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ, تَحْمِيل, الحمد لله الحمد لله, will stand يعني for them, or will be for them like the food and drink. This what suffices, and this what makes them survive. And this is, this shows the merit of the تَهْلِيل and تَكْبِيل and أَذْكَار. أَذْكَار here has become like your real physical food. This is the hadith, or most of the hadith, I did not finish the hadith, which is recorded by Imam Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim and Al-Diya from the narration of Abi Umamata radiallahu anhu. The very, very important question, and this is the most important part of the lecture. This is the most important part of the lecture, so please listen carefully. We have to think about those people who follow the Dajjal, so that we be careful and not be among them. If you think about those people who follow the Dajjal, you find that they are of two categories. Two categories. The first group are Ahl Shubuhat, and the second group are Ahlul Shahawat. The first group are Ahlul Shubuhat, the people of doubts, doubts in the matter of religion. And these people, the people of Ashubuhat, can be categorized in three different groups. The first group are those who do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are ignorant about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see how these people can be easily deceived by this story. So, it is very important for us to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as has mentioned in me when I was commenting on the hadith. And the second people, our second group from the people of Ashubuhat, are those people who are obsessed by supernatural phenomena. And any person who comes to them and shows them some tricks or makes some fireworks, they follow him. Say, MashaAllah, this is a wali. MashaAllah, this is big, Salih person. MashaAllah, this is Imam. Just he shows them some things that is supernatural. Maybe supernatural. Maybe they are tricks. The true follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not be deceived by these people. Because there is qa'ida sunniya. There is very, very important rule that we have to know. that if we see the person walking on the surface of the water, or even flying without refreshment, we should not really judge him till we weigh him against the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very precious rule and golden rule that is passed on to us by our Imam. This is the thing of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. That don't be deceived by people who show you something that's supernatural. Till you see their condition, what are they calling people to? If they are calling people to deviation, if they are calling people to innovation, if they are taking people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not be deceived by them and do not follow them, even if you see these supernatural things that are done by them. This is very important. Those people, whoever they see something, this is wali, okay? They are very subjective to the fitna of Dajjal and may be deviated by the fitna of Dajjal. Now the third group of the people of Shubuhat, people of doubt, are those who call themselves falsely Quranjun, Ahlul Quran. I say falsely because whoever rejects the Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejects the Quran. They come say, "Oh, show us anything about the Dajjal in the book of Allah." These are some of the people or a group of people who will be affected by the Dajjal. It is a fitna for them. It is part of the fitna of the Dajjal that he is not mentioned in the Quran. And he is only mentioned in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some scholars say that he is mentioned under the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيه إلا أن يأتي ربك أو بعض أو تأتيهم الملائكة أو هل ينظرون إلا أن تأتيهم الملائكة أو يأتي ربك أو يأتي بعض آيات ربك. They said that بعض آيات ربك, some of the signs of God include Dajjal, but still the question is there, why they are not mentioned in the Quran? Because brothers, the Sunnah has the same weight of the Quran, and it is part of the fitna of the Dajjal that is not mentioned in the Quran, so that people of the Sunnah be distinguished from the other people who follow innovation and separate and differentiate between the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, between Allah and His Messenger. Now these are the people who follow the Dajjal. This is the group of Ash-Shubuha. Now the second category, Ahlu Shahawat, the people of lust, the people of Shahawat, temptations, those who are immersed and overpowered by the temptations of the life of this world, accepted this world, preferred this world over the hereafter. They eat, drink, their bellies drive them. Two things drive them: their bellies and their private parts. These people, when they see the Dajjal at the time of famine, how could they sacrifice the food and the drink? They would rather eat and drink at the expense of their deen. This is why it's very important for us to understand what is mujahad, what is sacrifice. And this shows how important it is. A Muslim sometimes is put in a situation where he should offer the ultimate sacrifice, that is sacrificing himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we ready for this? Are we ready to give up our food, our drink, and not sell our deen? Are we ready to do that? We have to prepare ourselves, and we have to understand what is sabr. Sabr, when you face that which you hate. Sabr does not exist when there is favorable condition. People like sabr as long as they are living in the time of ease. But as a matter of fact, nobody can understand or practice sabr without the hardship, without difficulty. And this is the second people of dhikr. Now, how can we be protected from the fitna of the dajjal? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us some things to protect us from the fitna of the dajjal. You know what is the first and the most important thing? I have mentioned many times in my lecture. What is it? The first and the most important weapon to fight the dajjal. What is it? Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know Allah. How could you worship someone whom you don't know? Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could you live and die without knowing Allah? Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing Allah is your paradise in the life before the hereafter. And this is one of the first and the most important weapon by which you can fight the dajjal. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَقْرَأُهَا إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٌ. Only the believers will be able to read this letter كَافَرَ, that he is kafir, that he is this believer. Now, this is the first and the most important means of protection. What about the second one? What about the second one? We have mentioned these throughout our narration of the hadith. What about the second one? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is subjected to the fitna of Dajjal, let him read the beginning, or in some other narration, the end of Surah Al-Kahf. And we have to memorize it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith which is recorded by Imam Muslim, and from the narration of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, من حفظ عشر آيات من أول سورة الكهف عصم من فتنة الدجال. Whoever memorizes the first 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf, he will be protected from the tribulation of the Dajjal. So it is very important for us to memorize the beginning and the end and the whole of Surah Al-Kahf, because Surah Al-Kahf has a special merit. Whoever reads Surah Al-Kahf every Friday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a life till the day of judgment. So it is very important to learn and memorize this surah, and teach our children this surah, and make it among the surahs that they need to learn first. Make them learn and practice. Make them memorize Surah Al-Kahf and say it every Friday. And if you ponder over, you see, Surah Al-Kahf, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the perfection of his book. Because yesterday somebody asked, what is in Surah Al-Kahf? And this is the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf the perfection of his book, ما عوجه فيه. And it is because it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who possess all the qualities of perfection. So you should not be deceived by the Dajjal, who is a human, weak human, who is defective. You see, everything in him shows that he is defective. Also, it made mention for the eternal pleasure, the eternal joy, that is the joy of the hereafter. So the person who sees whatever the Dajjal is offering, he is offering something that must come to an end. It's going to finish. And also, it mentions something about the defective things in this life. So the person should not be deceived by whatever he sees from the glamour and the glitter of this, the life of this world. And also, it mentions several things that shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the absolute control over the affairs of the world. It mentions the story of the people of the cave, the story of Musa and Al-Khabar, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, and also there are some evidences in that surah for the resurrection, and also there is a mention for the blowing in the trumpet, which is the sign of the end of the life of this world. So these are some of the subjects that are mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, and it is enough for us to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man hafidha 10 ayat min Surah Al-Kahf, asima min fitnati al-Dajjal." Whoever memorizes 10 ayat from Surah Al-Kahf will be protected from the fitna of the Dajjal. The third point, which is very, very important, to run away from him. Don't be overconfident. Don't think that you have the perfect iman, because some people, really, when they grade themselves, you see, in the scale of iman, they are overconfident, and they overpraise themselves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sami'a bid-dajjal falyan'a anhu." فوالله إن الرجل لا يأتيه وهو يحسب أنه مؤمن فيتبعه مما به من الشبهات. That whoever, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawud and Al-Hakim, he said, whoever hears of the Dajjal, let him run away from him, let him flee from him. By Allah, the person will come to him thinking that he is a believer, but he would follow him because of what he has of doubt, what he spread and still and cast in the heart of the believer of doubt. The fourth point or means of protection is to live in Mecca and Medina, inshallah. So you need to apply for visa, inshallah. And here we have Sheikh Walid, who can help us, inshallah, in this figure. So the best place really you can live in is Mecca and Medina during this time. And people think that this is easy, but we don't know. No, I'm not talking about political issue, about legalization. I'm talking about, you see, people when they live, they like to live in a place like San Diego or LA, where you have the beauty of the sea and the beauty of the mountains, the trees, the different things. You don't know what, you see, maybe the condition of Medina at that time is maybe, as you know, the Red Famine, and you don't know what else is there. It may be very difficult, big trip, and something that requires a lot of iman to live there at that time. But this is one of the ways, this is one of the means to protect ourselves from Al-Dajjal, and you know that the angels will be protecting the Dajjal. And now let's assume that the person suddenly finds himself before the Dajjal and before the Jannah and his Naar. What should you do? He is giving you the command to go to his Jannah, to believe in him and go to his Jannah, or otherwise go to his fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَخْرُجُ الدَّجَّالُ وَمَعْهُ نَهْرٌ وَنَارٌ فَمَنْ دَخَلَ نَهْرَهُ وَجَبَ وِزْرُهُ وَحُطَّ أَجْرُهُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَ نَارَهُ وَجَبَ أَجْرُهُ وَحُطَّ وِزْرُهُ ثُمَّ إِنَّمَا هِيَ السَّاعَةُ. That, he has water, river of water, and he has fire. Whoever enter his fire sinned and will enter the real hellfire in the hereafter, and whoever enters his river
okay, or take from his rhythm, he will go to the hellfire. And wherever go to his nar, he will be in Jannah, inshallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see his fire, don't worry, just go to his fire and you'll see that this is the sweetest kind of water. But people think that this is the fire that is with him. And there is one more thing which is very, very important, and that is to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fitna of the Dajjal in every prayer. You know that it is wajib that in every prayer that we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fitna of the Dajjal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إذا فرغ أحدكم من التشهد الأخير فليستعذ بالله من أربع يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you finishes from the tashahud, the last tashahud, that is in the last rak'ah, let him seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from four things. Let him say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the hellfire, and from the punishment of the grave, and from the tribulations and trials of the life and the death, and from the evil tribulation of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. In every, it is an obligation. Tawud, rahimahullah, who is one of the tabi'een, used to require his son to redo his prayer if he forgot to this dua, this supplication. But it is not required, but it is wajib that you say this. So you need to learn this dua and say it in every prayer. It is mentioned in the book, the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Shaykh Nasir Sadeen al-Albani. So these are some of the means that help the person to protect himself from the fitna of the Dajjal. We go again to the first point, that is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this person, as I said, even though he is claiming that he is God, everything in him screams loudly that I'm weak human being. Like, you see, this defect in his eye. If he is God, why doesn't he repair himself? If he is God, why doesn't he remove those letters that shows that he is a kafir? So, knowing Allah, the whole thing we understand from the Dajjal, that we have to know Allah. We have to know whom we are worshipping. I conclude by this. Wa subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Okay, my first question is there a hadith that says that the Dajjal will ride on an iron mule, that is there's a mode of transportation, and that the distance between the two ears of this vehicle or the donkey will be 40 cubits? If so, is it safe to assume that such a vehicle that will allow him to travel that cloud is in fact an airplane or some type of machine?
About this, I am not aware of an authentic hadith. I don't know whether it is authentic or not. This is not authentic. It's not authentic, but we should not worry about how he does it. He does it, and that's it. But it is not authentic. Okay, come on.
Rasulullah said in one of these that the Dajjal will have a jinnah and a jahannam on each of his sides, and that the believer should go into the fire because it is actually a soul.
Yes.
Can this hadith be a metaphor for the representation of the power that the Dajjal will have to produce fitna or provision?
The question is, why should it be metaphorical?
The question is, why should it be metaphorical? Is it impossible or is it possible? If it is possible, we don't need it. We take by the literal wording of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the methodology of our scholars, that we take by the literal wording of the hadith, the meaning that is obvious from the hadith, except if it is impossible. But it is not impossible. It is possible. And he is a fitness. And the same thing could be said about Kafir. Is it actual letter? Okay. And the same thing, if you open this door, is he actual or is he metaphorical? Is the Dajjal actual, real, or is it metaphorical? So this door will never be closed. And there's something that Rasulullah, every prophet has warned his people against the Dajjal. Some people say the Dajjal is America and the Western countries. Maybe this is another Dajjal, but not the Dajjal of Rasulullah.
Next question, what is the exact meaning of the word rijal in English? And rijal, okay. Just that in English.
Yeah, he is the great one. The great one.
Next question is, Makkah and Medina, is it the whole city name and the way to save yourself from Dajjal? Is it the whole city or just the whole mosque?
It is the whole city of Makkah and the whole city of Medina.
The question, why Allah Azawajal will give so much power to Dajjal? We know he can stop him from all evils and he will be going on.
He also could stop the shaitan from whispering to the people, right? This is the fitna, this is the point. He wants easy life, a life where we are born, as some brother said, adult, okay? And his choice either to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. And shown all the clear evidences, and that's it, without shaitan, without nafsul. This is a fitna, this is a trial. And the believer will not be affected by this trial, inshaAllah. The true believers, the ones who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are not affected by this trial.
Next question is, where does the Dajjal get the food and water after the 3 years drought?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, this is something that I should have said, or I thought that it is implicit, that when the Dajjal resurrects a dead person, and this he Allah allows him to do it once, he does it by the permission of Allah. Allah is the one who gives him this power. When he has the hell and the image of the hell or the image of the paradise, Allah gives him this. So everything that the Dajjal does, Allah gives him the power to do it as a fitna, as a trial. He himself does not possess the power to benefit his own self, let alone benefit other people. He could have corrected his eyesight. He could have removed that letter, or he could have made himself a little more acceptable, I mean, presentable. And it is very ugly, very satanic, with one green eye, and that is coming out of his place, and one little eye, short, very, very, very curly hair, and he could have helped himself. This is for Sheikh Abu.
We have a question that Can we say the dua for seeking refuge in Allah from the four tribulations in English?
Insha'Allah, you need to learn this. Insha'Allah, see some brother who speaks Arabic, let him take 10 minutes of his time, 10 minutes only, and try to practice it, okay? And learn it Arabic and say it in Arabic. ما أصل تسميته بالمسيح الدجال؟ What is the origin of calling him المسيح الدجال؟ There is a lot of things that the scholars have mentioned about the where it is, but I did not pay much attention to this because it really does not concern us. Masih, and the scholars of Hadith said wherever it's mentioned and Masih, it is tafsir. It is yani incorrect or a mistake that is done by the writers of the Hadith.
Is it true that Banu Tamim will be hardest on the girl? If so, what do we find about Banu Tamim that makes one stronger?
Yes, there is an authentic hadith about Banu Tamim that they will be the hardest on the girl. And this is why some of the Sahaba love them more than the other people. This is a yani fadlullah yuqeem min yasha. It is another for these people, of course, not because of their physical attributes, rather for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in their heart of Iman. What is it? What? She cannot read that, cannot read this.
If we read the first 10 verses of Surah Ta'ala, the daily for the protection of the devil, is it okay or we must need to normalize the verse?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever memorizes, memorizes and understands its meaning, and ponder over the series, those ayahs.
The Dajjal will be from Jews, is it true?
The Jews are going to follow the Dajjal. And by the way, we did not mention this, that the Dajjal is a human being, you know that. I didn't mention this, but this is something that means he is a human being. And Jews are going to follow the Dajjal. I don't know that he is from Jews. He said, I don't ask my husband and now he will be. Sheikh Khalil is saying that he is not from the people of the book.
Is it true that Dajjal will cause earthquake in Makkah and Medina so that all the weak Iman people come out from Makkah and Medina and put into the fire of the book?
It is not the Dajjal who does this. It is that the Dajjal will try his best to enter to Mecca and Medina, but he is prevented and he has to camp outside of Medina. And at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause Medina to tremble 3 times or to shake 3 times, and all the hypocrites will be thrown away and ejected from Medina. Okay?
Is the story of, they have two questions. The first one is the story of Zulkarnain the first time of the day of
Zulkarnain? Okay, there are minor signs and there are major signs, and Brother Abdullah has addressed the minor signs. And regarding the major signs, and most of the scholars who classify the major signs, they mentioned the 10 I had the signs that I mentioned yesterday, and they said that regarding the sequence, they are not necessarily mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their sequence, because there are different narrations where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has altered the order. But we know, for example, that Mahdi comes first, then Dajjal, then Isa ibn Maryam, when he sent, we know this. And you know that there are two, comes after them, two signs that are twin signs. I call them twin signs because the Prophet ﷺ said that these signs, two signs, whenever one of them appears, the second will be, one will be immediately after that. And that is the rise of the sun from the west and the Dabba, the beast, according to my translation.
Is the Dajjal already alive, or is he still to be born? I heard that he's on an island somewhere looking to be Hindi.
Yes, he is alive. And there is an evidence, an authentic evidence for this in Sahih Muslim. And it is a group of companions who have gotten lost in the sea, and they found themselves at the an island, and they saw the Dajjal there, and they asked him some questions. So he is there, but he is chained, and he will appear to people when the time appointed for him reaches. So, yes, there is an evidence that he is there. How and where, Allah knows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power over everything.